Hello, everyone. It's Steve Baker, your friendly neighborhood pragmatic constitutionalist. It is time for another 5 in 10. Let's first of all talk about Hunter Biden's slap on the wrist for tax evasion and that gun charge he has. We can encapsulate this in a couple of simple phrases. First of all, two-tiered justice system and, of course, rules for thee, but not for me. The Babylon Bee had a great headline. It said, Hunter avoids jail time after pleading Biden. The incredible part is that this is not even satire. Experts who have reviewed the entirety of this now completely validated authenticity of Hunter's laptop by almost every MSM news agency tell us that it contains evidence of something on the order of 400 crimes that Hunter committed. I spoke with Dan Newman of TNN Live this morning, and I told him that despite the fact we know President Biden would or will pardon Hunter if there's ever any more serious charges, I'd like to see that process actually play out. The American people need to see that process play out. Sure, Biden has the constitutional right to pardon anyone of anything, and given the opportunity, not many of us would pass up the privilege of pardoning our own children of most any crime. But that process would allow America to see the seriousness of what's on that laptop, the seriousness of his own financial crimes, the seriousness of the big guy's own facilitation and involvement in some of those crimes as well. For now, though, under Biden's own Department of Justice, that is simply not going to happen. We will watch President Trump's prosecution play out, and Biden's own illegal financial deals and money laundering schemes will be ignored by both the DOJ and the mainstream media. We will scream loudly on Twitter and other social media platforms for equal justice, something other than that two-tiered justice system. But meanwhile, and just wait for it, the Department of Justice is currently figuring out how they are going to bring more charges against Trump. In fact, I think it's going to be a seditious conspiracy charge for January 6th. That, folks, is their holy grail. This is something that some are saying is probably going to happen by the end of this summer. Number two, speaking of Trump, did you see his interview with Fox News' Bret Baier? If you didn't, this was no softball interview. Baier worked Trump like a real journalist, and Trump came back pretty hard. When Trump claimed that he won the 2020 election, by a lot, as he said, Baier emphatically responded, you lost the 2020 election. When Baier repeated a long list of bad things and derogatory nicknames that Trump has called his previous vice president, cabinet secretaries, and other key staff, Trump claimed that the good of those hires outweighed the bad by, he said, 10 to 1. Baier also quoted directly from that recording, which some are calling the smoking gun in the case against Trump. What he said was, this is specifically a quote. You were quoted on the recording saying the document was secret, adding that you could have declassified it while you were president, but now I can't. You know this is still secret, highly confidential, and the indictment says you showed it to people there that day. You say on tape that you can't declassify it, so why have it? Baier asked. Trump responded, and I quote, when I said that I couldn't declassify it now, that's because I wasn't president. There was no document. That was a massive amount of papers and everything else talking about Iran and other things. It may have been held up or may not, but that was not a document. I didn't have a document per se. There was nothing to declassify. There were newspaper stories, magazine stories, and articles. Unfortunately, in my humble opinion, that was not a very strong answer to that particular question. Now, the judge in this particular case, Eileen M. Cannon, has already set a tentative trial date for August 14th. I think I said September 24th this morning when I was on with Dan Newman. I don't know where I got that particular date. I don't see any possible way that that is going to happen either way. With the complexity of the individual charges, all the pretrial litigation and the delay motions that are going to happen, this is all going to be something that will push this back many, many months into the future, I predict. Number three, on yesterday's 5 in 10, I talked about the digital fingerprint idea that has been proposed by former President Obama. I called it really scary. Now we have this coming in from the United Nations. Similar to the system developed by the World Economic Forum, WEF, the UN has released a three-part paper entitled A Global Digital Compact, Reforms to the International Financial Architecture and the Future of Outer Space Governance. I don't know what the outer space part is, but anyway, officially this is being touted as, and I quote, our common agenda. Sounds like communism, once again. And it states, and I quote, "Digital IDs linked with bank or mobile money accounts can improve the delivery of social protection coverage and serve to better reach eligible beneficiaries. The UN describes this goal as an open, free, secure, and human-centered digital future. This includes, and I quote, a massive increase in climate change funding." And one particular headline section in the proposal, which I did take time to read myself, says, "Redesign the global tax architecture for equitable and inclusive sustainable development. A global tax." There it is again. Do you think you won't be paying international sales or income tax? How will you refuse to participate once we are all on a universal digital financial system? They will just simply take it out of your bank account. The WEF, the UN, with Obama as their U.S. mouthpiece, are aggressively now laying the groundwork to move us toward this digital inevitability. Number four, yesterday, President Biden held a presser on climate change in which he said, "You know, I've toured many sites around the country that clearly show climate change is a genuine existential threat to humanity. The existential threat to humanity. I'd like to tour those sites myself, like most of Biden's claims about everything else. They simply don't exist." He then made the gaffe of claiming that his climate change goals will be met by 2020. That's a pretty aggressive goal to accomplish that by 2020, to create a time machine to achieve his climate agenda. Nevertheless, the coming relentless narrative, which we are going to hear in the coming days, is that the climate change is the existential threat to humanity. Do you think they lied and manipulated the masses with the COVID scare? A virus with a worldwide 0.26% death rate. If you were obese or had diabetes or you were really old with multiple comorbidities, you were at risk. That data, which we now know exists, was something that was also fully available and that they were fully aware of by April 1st of 2020. That international infected fatality rate has not changed since then, over 3 years ago. So how is the world going to respond as they start sounding the alarm that all of us are now going to die if we do not give up our cars, give up our gas stoves, our air conditioning units, if we continue to eat real meat, if we don't forego our vacation travel, if we don't pay more taxes, if we don't move into 15-minute cities, which we'll probably have to if we don't have cars, and if we don't take climate refugees into our homes? If you couldn't believe the science as presented to convince the world to lock down, stay home, wear masks, socially distance, and take 5 booster shots of an experimental vaccine to keep your job, you ain't seen nothing yet. They are about to start making up a litany of man-caused climate disasters and weather extremes, the likes of which we have yet to begin to imagine. Unfortunately, they have already been pre-programming at least 3 or 4 generations of school children to believe that this existential crisis exists. They had no such head start with COVID, but even though they've been wrong about everything that they've previously told us that was going to end life on Earth by 1970, 1980, 1990, 2000, 2010, and even 2020, this mass formation psychosis trigger of climate change is already deeply embedded in the minds of billions of Earth's inhabitants. All that's left for them is to begin repeating those magic words. Climate change is the existential threat to humanity. Number five, a few days ago, I had a conversation with FBI whistleblower Kyle Serafin. On January 6th, he was assigned to the Washington field office of the FBI. So he knows a little bit about the internal working, staffing, and capabilities of that most important of all FBI field offices. I called him to ask about this notion that has been floated by the likes of Marjorie Taylor Greene and Speaker McCarthy, that the public release of all that J6 video that they originally promised, you know, the 41,000 hours, would somehow imperil the as yet unidentified and innocent J6 accidental tourist who entered the Capitol that day. Specifically, I wanted to know if I was wrong to assume that the FBI hasn't already not only accessed broadcast all that video, including the video captured by another 1,100 cameras not yet made available to the defense teams or that small handful of journalists who have been granted access, but that they haven't already run high-tech AI facial recognition software on everyone who entered. He immediately said, of course they have. Then he said, but what's really frightening is the amount of manpower they have assigned to the January 6th project by way of comparison to what they have assigned to other threats around the world. He said that the Washington field office has assigned 3 full squads, or about 30 agents plus their tech and analyst support, to January 6th. Now, by comparison, that field office only has 4 squads assigned to China. In fact, he said, what is really frightening is that the FBI has more agents and support personnel assigned to January 6th than all other worldwide threats combined except for the big three. The big three being China, Russia, and radical Islam. Now that, folks, is how much of a threat the FBI and our government consider the half of this country who did not vote for Joe Biden in the last election. Or, at the very least, how much they consider that 3,000 people who entered the Capitol that day, of which only about 300 committed any real crime beyond simple trespassing, parading, and chanting USA, USA, USA. All right, that's it for today. Please consider joining my Locals community, where I share content I don't put out anywhere else. It is free to subscribe, but for as little as $5 per month, you can help support my continued investigations into government weaponization against the American people, as well as the ongoing revelations that we're coming up with almost every day about what really happened on January 6th. Simply go to TPC4USA. From your app store, download the Locals app and then search for @TPC4USA. That's TPC, the number 4, USA. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Truth Social with the same handle, @TPC4USA. Thanks a bunch, and I'll see you again tomorrow with another 5 in 10.